Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, folks, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally for this November the 29th. Brad here with Dalton, per usual, to talk high school sports for the next 15, 20 minutes. Dalton, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Brad. State championship week.
So I'm happy. You know, it's going to be some good games ahead of us, so it'll be fun to watch some.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I did. I spent Thanksgiving up here. I had to work Friday night, so I didn't make the long trip home. So I spent Thanksgiving up here and hung out with Gene Phelps.
You could do worse than that. I spent much of Thanksgiving in Starkville at the Egg Bowl, and then had the game at West Point Friday. So we'll look back at what happened last week with the North Finals in football, look ahead to the state championships this weekend. Again, we got two teams down there or over there in Oxford playing for state titles. Have some other things to talk about, a little bit of basketball. I mean, you know, it is basketball season well underway. As we wrap up football, we'll have Athletes of the Week as well. Just want to remind you that you can catch this show a variety of ways. We're in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or streaming online at preprally.djournal.com. And we're on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Let's start with the Class 5A North Finals last week. I went to West Point, as I mentioned, to take on Olive Branch. Second meeting this year between these two teams. It was a closer game than before. Technically.
Still 33 points.
Yeah. 51-7 was the score the first time they met in the regular season. These were division opponents. That game was in West Point, so was this one. 39-6 was the final this time. West Point jumped out early and just never really looked back, and the defense was dominant as usual. I mean, DeMarcus Ware, the second, really good running back. He's averaging, how many yards is he averaging a game? He was averaging like 150-something yards a game, I think it was. He had like 11 yards.
That's impressive that you can average that much and you play West Point twice.
Well, the thing is, and West Point just jumped out early, and it kind of forced Olive Branch to go to the passing game a little more probably than it wanted to. And just he didn't even have that many carries. I don't have the stats in front of me. He had less than 10 carries. So it's just what West Point does, man. They just dominate defensively. They've got several weapons on offense. Marcus Murphy had four touchdowns running and passing. Jason Brownlee, the receiver, had a huge game for West Point. He had, let me see here, I've got it. He had 160 yards on five catches and two touchdowns. So, not bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and then you got guys like Chris Calvert at running back, and they just got so many guys that can throw at you. So West Point has now won, 28 in a row?
I think it's 27.
I can't keep count. It's a lot.
Too many.
Yeah, 27 in a row. Reigning 5A state champs. They'll try to win another title this weekend. We'll look at that game a little bit later. Starkville also advancing in 6A, defeating Madison Central 27-24. Another close game. They beat Madison Central in the regular season, I think 14-6. So the last couple of games, Starkville's offense has come back to life. Rodriguez Clark had 170 yards and two touchdowns rushing for the Yellow Jackets. Jaleel Clemens had some big plays on both sides of the ball. I think he recovered a fumble late.
Yeah, he did. I don't think it was late. I think it was in the third
some
quarter.
Point.
Yeah,
had a big fumble recovery.
And then I think right after that, he scored the game winning or the game leading touchdown.
Right,
because it was actually Rodriguez Clark threw a touchdown pass to him.
That's right.
So
that's
probably
right.
A little trick play there, but. Yeah, I actually heard a little bit about this game. They said that the refs left, some of the refs left with 3 minutes left in the game.
And Chris Jones, the Starkville coach, was not happy about the officiating and said as much in our story. Taylor Rayburn covered that game for us.
28 penalties in the game, and then the refs left with a couple of them left with 2 or 3 minutes left.
Yeah, well, was it just the clock operators that left, I thought?
I'm not sure.
But why would you? Why?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's embarrassing.
I wish I'd been there to really get the context of that whole situation, but. I mean, people rag on the officials in Mississippi. I tend to be one of those that are like, okay, just, you know, get over it and move on. But there have been some instances of some really bad officiating that I've seen myself. And it's just, I don't know. I think there is a bit of a crisis it's a whole other story, but a crisis as far as getting enough officials and enough good officials in Mississippi and elsewhere. So still, Starkville won, so good for the Yellow Jackets. They move on to the 6A title game for the second time in 3 years. Game, you're at Dalton, Winona, and Calhoun City. Calhoun City had to go on the road to play Winona, a team that it lost to in division play in the regular season, another rematch that we had last week. And the reigning 2A champs got dethroned. It was a close one.
It was. This was the best game I covered all season.
Really?
It was just a great game. I thought from the beginning that Calhoun City was going to kind of take over. And first drive, caught a pick. And then Keyshawn Parker ran about 6-7 times that drive and just drove straight down the field. No one could stop him.
Yeah.
Scored a touchdown. Next drive, grabbed another interception. But then they just started struggling there in the red zone. I think they got into the red zone 5 times and they came away with 6 points out of it.
Wow.
So they hurt themselves. And then it was super close. And then it was 6-7 Winona is what it was. And then Calhoun City drove down the field. JoJo Gray scored in like a 13-yard touchdown run. Gave him a 14-7 lead. And then Winona started with the ball on about the 7-yard line and drove straight down the field. And it was a heck of a play by Winona's quarterback, Tyler Moore. But he backed up, avoided a sack, spin moved a defender, and dove, hit the pylon for a touchdown on 4th down. It was a crazy play.
Yeah.
And then right after that, Winona had all the momentum, stopped them, got a punt for – they got it on the – then they got it on Calhoun City's 40-yard line, threw two passes, scored a touchdown,
yeah.
Take the lead.
Yeah. Final was a 22-14 Winona, advancing to the state title game for the first time in program history. So Calhoun City's fine season comes to an end. 1A. I almost feel like we need to apologize, Dalton. We talked about this last week going into the game, Oklahoma and Simmons. Simmons, such a dominant program. Again, they dropped down to 1A from 2A in 2015. They've not lost a game since then. They've won 2 straight state titles. They have now won 39 games in a row, I think it is, after beating Oklahoma. The score is 20-14. And we talked about, well, we don't really think Oklahoma has much of a chance because nobody has played this team close all year.
Mm-hmm.
This was by far the closest anybody has played. So hats off to Oklahoma for coming that close to knocking off Simmons.
And not only was it the closest game they played, Oklahoma led 14-0.
They did. They scored 2 touchdowns in the first quarter, could not find any more points after that. And that is a fine Simmons defense that I think coming in was giving up 3 points a game, and they'd thrown 11 shutouts. And mm-hmm. most of those points were scored by South Delta in a game, and that's a 2A playoff team earlier in the season. So really nobody in 1A had scored on these guys at all. And Oklahoma found a way to do it early in the game, just couldn't find any more points the last 3 quarters. But just as impressive was the defensive effort. And we've got Mr. 1A football, Marquez Pam, over on that side of the ball, among other people. And Oklahoma held its own, man. Oklahoma mm-hmm. football's back. I think so.
Hey, they could be. I don't personally. I've never seen them play before this year, so they're here. So
yeah, I mean. Well, and they were really good in 1A, then they went up to 2A and had some struggles trying to adjust to that level. But Lamart Harvey, first-year head coach, really gotten this program back on the right track. So a heck of a season and a heck of an effort there in the loss to Simmons, which will now go on to face Nanawaya, which should be a really, really fun game. In 1A.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, so maybe Nanawaya can give Simmons a test as well. So that's just a quick look back at the North Finals. Looking ahead to this weekend, the state championships. Again, we've got 2 teams still alive, Starkville in 6A, West Point in 5A. Starkville will be up first on Friday playing undefeated Pearl, 15-0. Starkville is 13-2. I mentioned the Starkville offense behind quarterback Malik Brown is finally gotten back on track the last couple of weeks. And, of course, they got Rodriguez Clark that we mentioned, got some good receivers like Cameron Hines. And so, you've got Chris Jones, who won the title last year with Kemper County in 3A. And this program looking for its second state title in 3 years. Ricky Woods, of course, led them to the championship his first season in 2015. And I don't know a whole lot about this Pearl team, Dalton, except that, I know they're undefeated, for one thing.
They have a good defense.
Yes, it would appear so. Looking at some numbers, speaking of the defense, they got Willie Brown, the linebacker. He's got 136 tackles to lead them. Got a strong safety. Tylen Knight has 106 tackles, 5 sacks, 2 picks. Got some really good guys on offense. The quarterback is Jake Smithart. He's thrown for about 2,500 yards, 29 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. So it's obviously a talented group.
I think Tyler Knight is their MVP on that team. I don't know that for sure, but I know he plays both sides of the ball. And I know he's just one heck of a ball player on that team. I've heard of him over and over again this year because that's from around the area that I'm from.
Sure.
So I know a little bit. I know a couple of the coaches on Pearl staff, and I think that's their go-to guy.
Okay. And Pearl, looking for its first state title. They went to the title game last year, lost to Clinton, Cam Akers.
They lost to Cam Akers.
They lost to Cam Akers. No shame in that. So Pearl is 15-0. Going to be a tough challenge for Starkville, but I think it should be a good game. So that's the one I'll be covering on Friday, because on Saturday, it's my birthday, so I'm not going to work. So Dalton will take the West Point game. West Point 14-0, taking on Hattiesburg 14-0. And again, West Point has won 27 in a row, reigning state champs. And Hattiesburg, I mean, I don't know much about them, again, Dalton, but they're obviously really good. I wonder how much of a chance they have, because nobody's really played West Point that close this year.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of West Point, just looking on paper anyway. I haven't seen any film or anything. I haven't seen them play. But they have a fantastic offense. They almost average 50 points a game. It's like 48 or 49.
Yeah.
And I think they have a really good running back. He's an MSU commit, Fabian Franklin, but I don't even think he's not even their leading guy. The quarterback, Jared Connor.
Yeah, Jared Connor.
He's putting up unreal stats. I know we mentioned earlier, just me and you talking, about how West Point doesn't turn the ball over. They haven't thrown an interception all year.
That's right.
Jared Connor for Hattiesburg has 25 touchdown passes and only 2 interceptions.
And that's in 230 pass attempts. That's not too shabby.
And then on the ground, he adds 26 touchdowns.
Yeah, and 1,400 yards. It appears that he is the offense, but obviously yeah. he's got some other guys that can run the ball pretty well. You've got the Fabian Franklin. You've got another kid named Drexian. Hope I said that right. Drexlin Allen. They've combined for about 1,300 yards and 30 touchdowns between them. Mm-hmm. So they've got other weapons, but yeah, Connor, obviously the engine.
Well, I think the thing to watch is it's not even going to be Hattiesburg's offense. I think it's going to be West Point's offense, is because Hattiesburg defense almost allows 20 points a game, which, you know, defense wins championships. West Point only allows, well, I think 6 or 7, and
yeah,
Hattiesburg allows almost 20.
And they haven't. I don't know, but I'm guessing they haven't faced many offenses like West Point's, which has weapons all over the field. In fact, I'm doing a story for later in the week about the West Point's passing game. Now, they're not really passing the ball any more often this year than recently. Now, this has always been, as long as I've been around here, a program that emphasizes the run in a big way. Now, the more recently, they've passed the ball more than I remember them passing it, say, 18 years ago. Just went out and did a little 5-year snapshot looking on Max Preps at their stats. And, you know, they've thrown the ball 164 times this year, which is right at what they did last year when they threw it 167. And they've had years they've thrown it more often. But at least during this 5-year window, and probably in any time span you want to go with, West Point is throwing the ball more effectively than it has in who knows how long. Completing 59% of their passes, 1,811 yards, 17 touchdown passes, as you mentioned, 0 interceptions. You got 2 quarterbacks doing the bulk of the work. Marcus Murphy, who's really a running back playing quarterback a lot. And then Jake Chambliss, more of your classic drop back passer, the coach's son. And they're both having good years. I mean, Murphy's passed for 977 and 9 touchdowns, and Chambliss for 670. And 7 touchdowns. And we mentioned Jason Brownlee, the receiver, has done a really good job, has been their go-to guy in the passing game. He's legit. You don't see receiver as a glory position at West Point. It's usually the running back position, okay? But Jason Brownlee has really made a huge impact in the passing game there for West Point. He had a great game again the other night against Olive Branch. Most of the catches he made, he just went up over top of the defender, had one-on-one coverage, and just out-jumped the guy. Caught the ball, one long touchdown pass he had. He just literally jumped up, pretty much picked it off the top of the guy's helmet, turned around and waltzed into the end zone. So he's an impressive specimen there, Jason Brownlee. I'll have a story on him in the passing game later in the week. So You know, if I had to make a prediction, I guess I'd go with West Point, because how do you pick against them at this point?
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see. You know, the games aren't played on paper, so.
That's why they play the games, Dalton, because you just never know. I mean, again, Simmons thought they would have had a easier time of it just because of how dominant they've been, but Oklahoma just about got them. So those are the two games involving our teams. Those are both the late games, Starkville and Pearl, 7 o'clock on Friday in Oxford, Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, West Point and Hattiesburg, Saturday, also a 7 o'clock kick. The other games, Friday, the early game at 11, you got Simmons against Nanawaya. In 1A and 2A, Winona versus Taylorsville at 3. And then on Saturday, you got Yazoo County and Jefferson Davis County at 11 in the 3A game. And then in 4A, you got Noxubee County and East Central at 3 o'clock. So there's your schedule for this weekend. Some other news to get to before we get out of here. Got an update on Jet Johnson, the Tupelo linebacker selected to the Mississippi-Alabama game. MSU commit, really good player, last year's Daily Journal Defensive Player of the Year, and he plays basketball too, but right now he's hurt, isn't he?
Yeah, he has a stress fracture in his left foot, and he got an MRI on it last Tuesday, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and apparently from what he said, you know, he's had the injury, it's from over the course of the football season, but then he was at basketball practice over Thanksgiving break and kind of just started hurting. So he was just like, I'm going to get this checked out. Went and got an x-ray, nothing. They were like, he was like, well, this is something wrong. So he went and got an MRI. Stress fracture game.
Yeah.
And so he's out for 5 weeks. He can't put any compound stress on it. So he is exercising in the pool at the wellness center. He said he is doing a bunch of swimming activities, which is harder than actually working out, from what he said.
Might be. Got all that resistance.
Mm-hmm. So he is going to be out 5 weeks. Won't play in the Miss Al game. He's going to miss it. But whenever he comes back, he's going to continue to play basketball, finish out the season.
Okay. All right. And he's sticking with his MSU commitment.
He is. He is hoping they keep Todd Grantham.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I haven't heard the latest. And by the time y'all hear this, we may have something official on it. We know already that like Billy Gonzalez and John Hevesy have gone. I think maybe Todd Grantham, that might still be up in the air. But they got a new head coach, Joe Moorhead. So we'll see what he does with his coaching staff. Grantham's really good. I'm sure State would love to keep him. So that's a little update on Jet Johnson. Basketball, real quick, on Monday, Ingomar's girls, not surprising, they keep winning. But they finally got a test. On Monday against Pine Grove. Ingomar, of course, has won two straight state titles in 2A. Pine Grove is the defending 1A state champ. Had a good game. Gene Phelps was at Monday. You can read it in Tuesday's Journal or at djournal.com. But the Lady Falcons with a 52-41 win. And they did so without their point guard, Garibeth Self. She has some kind of a wrist or hand injury that she's trying to get over.
I think it's something broken.
Yeah, so they don't know how long she'll be out. And so she's the one that really makes them go. But still, they're winning, I think, and they won handily Tuesday night against East Union or somebody that just didn't have a chance, bless them, because Ingomar is really good. So Ingomar rolling along as expected. And just something else that Gene mentioned in the story, Lauren Elliott, really good player for Pine Grove. She's still trying to get back from some off-season knee surgery. So Pine Grove was not at full strength either. But both of those teams should definitely be back in Jackson this year playing for state titles. And real quick, last night, you went out to Nettleton, Dalton, saw a little bit of Morville Nettleton boys hoops.
I did. Nettleton was dominant the whole game. They just shot lights out, which it was kind of funny because I got here and I've never been to a Nettleton basketball game. So I meet Coach Grant Gardner, and then I'm just sitting there and I see on the thing that the senior posters, his son is a senior. I was like, okay, he's a starting point guard. And then they're going through starting lineups, and I heard another Gardner. So I turned to the guy next to me. I was like, this guy has two of his sons starting for his team? And they're like, yeah. And I was just like,
pretty good.
Hey, okay. And then I didn't realize how good these kids were. I think they both hit 4 or 5 threes. They were just shooting lights out. Unreal. Yeah. Both 19 points in the game. So
that's not surprising. They come from good stock. Grant, I think he's back. He's in his second year of his second stint as Nettleton coach. He was a coach there back when I was sitting in your chair leading the high school coverage, and then he went to Ripley. I'm trying to remember where else maybe he went. But back at Nettleton, and so the Tigers off to a good start there, and they get the win over Morville, which has been a state tournament team in the last few years. Jim Talley does a good job. I know they're off to a bit of a slow start, but they played kind of a tough schedule.
Yeah, they have, and they have guys on that team that can score, and they look like, you know, they can play, but they didn't really have a shot last night because Nettleton literally just hit almost every single three they took. It's hard to beat a team when they don't miss.
Yeah, it really is. So anyway, a little basketball update there for you. Let's wrap up the show now with our Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. Female Athlete of the Week, India Prather, Faulkner Basketball. Had a nice game last night against Thrasher. Dropped 30 points on them. India Prather with 30 points in a 66-31 win over Thrasher, so congrats to her. And your male athlete of the week, we talked about him earlier. I was just really just super impressed by his performance against Olive Branch, a wide receiver, Jason Brownlee of West Point. Again, 5 catches, 160 yards. That's 32 yards per catch. It's a pretty good average.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and he scored 2 touchdowns as well for West Point in that win over Olive Branch. So those are your athletes of the week, and that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks again for joining us. Every Wednesday we come to you talking about high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, and you can access this show in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8. I'm on there at Brad Locke. All right, that's it. We'll be back next Wednesday to talk more high school sports, see what happens in Oxford with the state championships. See you then.